The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education, we discuss Chinuch, we discuss how to be better people, how to create a better world, and everything in between, how to influence our families, our friends, our communities, our neighbors, and just be living in the place we want to live, in the world we want to have, and where we are going. So last week, for those of you who remember, we spoke to youth, about youth, and together with people that are involved with youth programs, because the past Saturday was International Youth Day. And while there was a lot of discussion with the youth about their journeys and what they're doing for society, we've decided, and it looks great, to continue this discussion this week. But this week we're going to be talking, I don't know if it's nice to say about youth, but let's say about youth, the differences between what the youth generation today is going through, comparing to our generation, everything in between, the different stages of life. And I'm here with a clinical and organizational psychologist, Dorian Will, and we are going to discuss the differences, as you probably know her as Dr. D, and that is our topic today. So anything you'd like to comment on, 34519 is the SMS line, Telegram 061-895-1019. And yeah, let's go right into it, as there's so much to discuss, and really I don't even know if we should start from the organizational part of things and or the clinical side of things, but maybe let's start with actually getting to know you. Good afternoon, Dr. D. Thank you so much for being with us today.
So good to be back on Chai. And nice to see Craig again. Hello, Craig, and good to be back. So, Rabbi, just before we start, I was just so interested that King David Schools are sponsoring this show, and you were talking about discussing levels of satisfaction and fulfillment and how to be in the world in your introduction. And I just want to say that my children went to King David, and I was always impressed with their mission statement and their vision that it was in front of us every parents meeting that there was. And the first thing it said on the top is, we nurture mention. And amazing. I love that. Yeah, that in conjunction with all of the good results, and of course, with the Yiddishkeit and all of the contextual, Jewishness of it all, they still said, we think that the first thing on our mission statement is to nurture mention. So that seems to be aligned with what your show is about.
Amazing. And May, that's why part of the reason it's so exciting that we are doing this show, and we're on the Sun journey together, the Chai Chinuch Show together with King David, and seeing that they're influencing the broader community as well through the show and through other areas, as their amazing work never ends and always grows and keeps that beautiful vision. What's impressing is to see that you take a message that was given to you within the context of the parents' school meeting, etc., and you take it for life with you, and you're still remembering it and focusing on it. And, you know, you speak about this concept of nurturing mention. Is that something that we are still in touch with in our society today?
Well, unfortunately, I think that it's got to be much more intentional than it's got to be a focus, and it has to be more intentional even than it used to be, because of all the obstacles that youth have to contend with today that interfere with proper, that process of nurturing Menschheit in mention at home and at the school. It's more challenging, I think, for people to internalize these kind of qualities, perhaps. Not only, I mean, obviously we always say children learn in three ways, Rabbi. First is example. Second is example. And third is example. So they do internalize what they see and what they experience, but with stresses and obstacles and uncertainty and obligation and distraction that not only they have, but the parents have to contend with in their lives, and the tasks and the syllabuses and the relationships and encompassing diversity, encouraging inclusion and being politically correct all the time. Otherwise, you know, the consequences are dire, of course, not that one doesn't want to be. It's just harder. And yet, you know, in terms of this program, we know that people, how do people feel fulfilled or good about themselves? People who produce good results feel good about themselves, but people who feel good about themselves produce good results. So what are the characteristics that make people feel good about themselves? And many of them, in a sense, are the non-cognitive one. They to do with emotional intelligence, not necessarily IQ, predicts only 6% of job success.
Okay, one second. Let's take this step by step and kind of start addressing. You mentioned, great. So you mentioned in the beginning about today's youth, the challenges and how hard it is and the different stresses. What are the unique challenges and unique areas that the youth today are dealing with and handling and managing that are different in a way to previous generations' youth or what we see as adults? What is their unique space?
Look, I think that it's always been a difficult challenge to go through, especially those adolescent years and teenage. There are two main needs. Well, there are a lot of needs, but it's interesting that the main needs that have been satisfied perhaps differently over the generations or not satisfied over the generations, which we can talk about, seem to be dichotomous, diverse. The one is that there's the need to be the same, need to have passengers, need to identify, need for peer connection has always been, and it's very, very central in those years. And we can talk about how it's changed now because of social media, the added pressures that have come about in this generation, because you can be liked, disliked, cancelled, accepted, get a smiley face or a terrible message, be bullied, not only in the playground, but on your phone in a way that really was not possible before. So that need
for intensity is huge. You mentioned about the need to be the same and connected and to be part and to, be part of something. At the same time, we're seeing today there's a strong need of being unique and different and noticeable. How does that come into play with both angles?
Right. And that's what I was going to say is the second need. The one is the need to be the same and connected, and the other is the need to be different. But the need to be different, which is seen throughout the ages, because teenagers have to identify themselves, you know, and they do it by trying in a way to be different. Are they different from? In a way, they're different. Need to go through a period of difference, and parents have to kind of stretch and allow themselves to burn their fingers, but you also have to see that they're not third degree burn. So that balance is difficult. So they challenge some of what they've been taught. They want to differentiate themselves. And the good news is that most of the time, so the research says, that if the child hasn't really had any major either mental health challenge or problem, by the time they're 11, they do a little bit of experimenting and then they come back again. So at the end of the day, the values that were predominant and steadfast and the aspects of mention that we were talking about earlier become integrated and manifest usually, but not always. So the need to be different
an amazing concept. And I think we need to broaden it a bit more. And I want to comment about what you just said. However, we do need to go to a short announcement. Then when we come back, we will continue this discussion. I'm here with Dr. D, who is a clinical psychologist, organizational psychologist, and we're talking about the different challenges of today and our generation compared to before. And we will be continuing this conversation. Anything you'd like to comment or ask or add, 34519 is the SMS line, or Telegram 061-895-1019.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 FM, we are back in the middle of a fascinating discussion with Dr. D, and we are discussing the differences between generations and challenges that we're looking and focusing at. Anything you'd like to add, 34519 is an SMS line, or Telegram, 061-895-1019. So, Dr. D, right before the break, you mentioned that a very interesting concept, that whenever a child learns something or gets certain values and ingrains it within them by the age of 11, even if they will take a path and go off and kind of explore their own mission in life, they will come back to those basic values at a later point. What I'd like to ask is from another side of things. Many times I hear from parents about their children's behavior, and they'll tell me, it's really frustrating that when we go outside, when we go in public, when we go with friends, and when people come over, my child is an angel. But then when we are on our own, in our family setting, he's or she is a nightmare. And part of what we discuss many times is the reason your child is an angel in public is because they know the values and they know the right thing and they know how to make the right decisions. However, we're all not at our best behavior when we're not in public, and we're all in a down mode when we are with the people that will love us unconditionally. And therefore, we don't need to perform at home and we don't need to be at our best behavior at home. However, you need to understand that that means your child knows the values, understands the values, and can live up to those values that you've taught them. How do we get that message? And besides what your take is on it, how do we not panic as parents when we see this behavior at home? How do we able to see that we can just chill? Because the fact that they're behaving appropriately and respectfully in one way teach it tells us that they do understand, they do know, and they can do it. And we just need to chill, that sit back and give them some trust and support, and they'll get there.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's an excellent question. And I'm going, there's a lot to say, I think. Just before that, when we were talking about differences, the one thing that I want to just point out with the need to be different is that with the kids differentiating themselves from you for that period of time, they very seldom do it on their own. Like if they're going to experiment in any way, sometimes dangerously, perhaps with substances, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, sometimes they are experimenting these days. Sometimes it's very real and there's a huge, huge struggle. But sometimes there's experimentation with even with sexual identity and with gender identity. I just wanted to make the point that they very seldom do any of that on their own. So that need to be together. They still kind of hunt in packs, and it's a few of them or this crowd or that crowd. You don't usually find someone, and if you do, you know, obviously in any case you take it very seriously. But I just wanted to make that point. Then back to your question.
So you're saying that if they are doing it on their own, then that is a red flag and it needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. Look, I think that it's a red flag anyway. Why do they stop doing it at all? If they just get blind acceptance on everything, and let's relate this to this question that you're saying, even if they just, if you reassure yourself and there's blind acceptance saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter how my child speaks to me, as long as they're okay outside of me, then it means that they've learned the rules. You see, I don't think that that's really good enough. The response of how your kids are at home is still important. Why the kids are like that is because also it's another good reason. There's a sense of security. You're not going to leave. Part of why they behave well is that they need people to like them. There's an inherent human need. We wire for connection. There is an inherent human need for love and respect. They've got more chance of getting that love and respect if they behave in ways that they understand And it's good that they have understood and internalized appropriateness of behavior. Does that mean because they don't have to at home, they can do what they like? No. You show your child how you will and will not be treated. You still have to set appropriate boundaries. That doesn't mean that you don't understand when your child is low, as you said, or having a bad day. You are really having a bad day. That was terrible at school. You're so disappointed because you were not invited to the party. So you understand all of it, but it doesn't give you license, in fact, to not intervene and act as a guide.
However, there's a huge difference between when you're setting the boundaries and when you're getting offended personally. When, as a parent, you go ballistic emotionally or you get frustrated and lost, it's very hard to set the proper boundaries out of the appropriate decision and respect. And I think that's exactly the line you're speaking about, which is very accurate, that a parent needs to see, am I educating my child right now because they need to have boundaries or because I'm offended that they don't want to spend time with me? Adding to that, okay, I'll say the second point afterwards, like that you comment, yeah. And then, okay.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think that, you know, what do you really want as a parent? I mean, I liked what Gandhi said, actually, be the change you wish to see in the world. I mean, if you have a child and you want to nurture somebody who looks like the kind of human being that you really want to say that I want to spend time with this person, a responsible human being. I'm proud to call them my child. Well, there's some onus in you to sort of really, and I think what you're talking about is how do you differentiate what is your stuff? And when you're acting out and going ballistic and really what belongs to the child. But let me say that when it is your stuff, there are skills in doing that. But it might be because you've let it go, you've let it go, you've let it go, you've let it go, and you think it's not worth rocking the boat or saying anything in a nice manner or in a quiet manner. And so often at that point that that parent really goes ballistic, it could be either something that is totally unrelated, as you say, could be something at work, it could be something in their own relationship, it could be something with their mother, as of like an hour ago, and you're acting it out on the child, do you have enough insight to say, I can't deal with this now, or I'd like to, or understand how much is yours and how much is the child, and deal with it appropriately?
Right. Specifically, if the example you brought is that you just let it go and let it go until it came to an explosion, which many times the parent needs to ask himself, why did I let it go? Did I let it go because I was scared of my child and scared to rock the boat? Did I let it go because I don't have enough confidence to demand respect? Did I let it go because I'm worried about whatever it is to put the boundary in? And adding to that, I would even say that we do know that naturally, in a very natural, normal way, children want their parents to be proud of them. I meet people that their parents passed away 30 years ago and they're still craving that their parents will be proud of them. And it's a very natural thing. So when a child's not doing it, something is not natural. And either there's a challenge or there's something that needs to be worked with the child, or something needs to work with the parent, or the child just gave up and says, my parent will never appreciate me or think I'm good enough, so then why would I? And kind of find that space.
You know, there's such a lovely, again, I mean, these things are cliches, but they're cliches for a reason. If you want someone to reach their full potential, so should we transfer that and say, if you want your child to reach their full potential, catch them doing something right. And most of the time we catch them doing something wrong. So there should be a lot more than we see usually. Wow, that was well done. You were so nice to your sister. You know, thank you for doing that. Those are actually all teachable moments. They're all teachable moments that are doing exactly what you said. The underscore, the undercurrent, the subtext of that is saying, you know, I'm proud of you. Of course, it has to be very real, and it's usually associated with a behavior. But we tend to catch kids doing something wrong. More often than we do catch them doing something right. And what the Oscar Wilde once said is love me, hate me, but don't ignore me. In other words, I'd rather get negative attention than none.
Exactly.
So if the child is just doing what they should do and what you expect them to do, very often nothing sort of really gets said. The child craves some recognition or some attention. So they'll stimulate a fight or do something wrong or act out in class or be known as the class clown or the naughty one because they still get that kind of recognition or attention, which isn't as meaningful as positive, but is better than none.
Exactly. And that point of not catching your child doing something wrong is so crucial from so many aspects. I mean, first of all, technically, when your child does something wrong and is hiding it from you, I'm not talking about something dangerous per se, but something wrong that you're not happy with, there's a huge risk if you catch them that the child will turn around and say, well, yeah, I do that. And then if they were hiding and doing it once a week in the past, now they're going to do it 5 times a day because now you know and there's no reason to hide. And again, I'm not talking about dangerous or things that your child's at risk, but just negative behavior. There's the point that you said exactly about, you know, not giving them attention when the good things are happening, but giving them when the bad things, and that's when the child will come. But more than everything, I'm saying to the parents, if you catch your child doing something right, you'll be a happier person. It's very draining for a parent to see consistent negativity with their kids. But if a parent is able to see the positive and catch these things, put aside the child for a minute, the parent will be a calmer, happier, and more trusting parent because they're seeing the beauty.
Absolutely. Look, I think that if you catch them doing something wrong, and then you say, well, maybe that will mean that there's no need to hide because they know about it already. I don't think it means that you have to be pleased with it just because you know about it. And I think that that sometimes is quite a differentiator. So you will say to the child, look, you know, often people, you would hide things. Why do you hide things or why do you sometimes will tell a lie? It's for fear of telling the truth. Understand that you were nervous, that you thought that if I knew about this, you were going to get into trouble. So it was better, safer for you to keep it going until now I've inadvertently found out. So you can still say, look, you know, this. However, you can say, look, it's more important for me to know. I want to feel that you come to me with these kind of things. I get more upset when I found that these things are hidden. We'll deal with it. So it means that you don't necessarily endorse the wrong thing. You kind of maybe go for the value which you want, and that isn't always possible, especially through these differentiating years. But as far as possible, I like to call it clean space. Clean space between you and your child. There's no murky stuff or very little. There aren't many huge elephants in the room. You keep open the ability for communication as far as possible, respecting the natural inclination to have things because of this growing up period that my mom and dad, look how kids, you were talking about it earlier. When they're growing up and when they're young, my daddy is stronger than your daddy. Or that's true because my mommy says so. I don't doubt their parents. Their parents are the heroes. They're on a pedestal. They know everything. Suddenly, get these parents who say to you, you know what? My child transformed into overnight. I don't know what happened. It was a lark that got there. Something happened, and it was quick. Now, you know, instead of agreeing with everything, they disagree with everything. Instead of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a bit like, get out of my life, but take me to the mall first.
Exactly.
I'm kind of getting this balance between, and you have to help. You know, there was some lovely research, it was on young kids, 7-year-old kids, where they took all these 7-year-old kids and they put them into a field, Rabbi, a big field. And they said to these kids, you can just play wherever you like. And you know what was interesting? They kind of didn't venture far. They sort of went out a little bit and they huddled up and they talked to each other and went out a little bit. And then what the researchers did is they put a fence in the field, around the field, quite far, quite a lot further than the kids had ventured to in the first place. When there was a fence there, the kids went right up to the fence, right up. They explored the boundary. They felt safe. They felt contained. They could do the experimentation, but within limits. And right. It's quite hard to emulate that in life.
So that's where the whole topic of boundaries come in, which we'll probably have to chat after the break. Just to comment that what you said about, you know, having the open communication about everything is a very important thing. Saying that we need to be very accurate about the areas, because exactly what you said, just because I know about something doesn't mean I endorse it and I'm happy with it and proud of it. So if we take an analogy, and I'm going to give an analogy of something that I'm not giving any opinion about how to deal with it or right, wrong, etc. But for instance, we've seen a study when it comes to smoking or vaping, that when you have a teenager smoking and he feels bad about it and he's doing it with his friends or she's doing it with her friends and not doing it in front of their parents, we do see that in most cases when the parent will catch them per se and say, I caught that you had a cigarette or I caught that you vaped, the amount of times they'll smoke will go up. They will do it much more because now you know about it. The chances that they'll stop because the parents knows is quite less. Again, without giving an opinion if you should comment to it or not. And I think it's a responsibility for a parent to think, before I notice and say something, let me think what's the best interest for my child. Is it better for them that I know and comment and put a boundary? Is it better for them that I don't know? Is it better for them that I, how do I do the best thing for my child? It's not about me and my frustrations and me getting upset. And, you know, being able to allow the kid, because if the kids, exactly like you said, the kids know that their parents are not approving of the smoking and they'll be disappointed and it will put a burden on the relationship in a way. And just be clever about it. Sometimes you should say, sometimes you shouldn't, but just be clever and see what is the benefits of noticing things, because as a parent, you'll notice right away. So yeah, I'm sure I'd love to hear your opinion about that. And we do need to get to boundaries. Just a quick break before we continue, and then we will get right back.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Sorbai G. We are back in the middle of a fascinating discussion. I'm here with clinical and organizational psychologist, Dori Will. And we, right before the break, we spoke about the relationship between parents, kids, and where we can support and put the educational part for our kids and where that comes into place. And Dori, you mentioned about boundaries and the area of boundaries and where they come and how important they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the most important things that I do actually with teenagers many times when I sit with them, we discuss about, do boundaries make us closer or further from each other? And we see very clearly that when there's a boundary, we feel much closer to other people. The analogy we use many times is if I'm sitting on the top of the roof and there's no fence around the roof, then I'm petrified in the middle. But if there's a fence, then I can go till the fence. Exactly the analogy you brought from the field. What's happening with boundaries today? Are we as parents, educators, confident enough, strong enough, and clear enough when we come to put in our boundaries, or do we bring in our emotional baggage into it?
Oh, Rabbi, I think that even in the way that you ask the question, and I can hear that you do a lot of this work with families and with parents, with children. I would so love to get your take even before I give mine. So we asked about the differences earlier. One of the obvious ones is the way that we connect. The need for connection was always there. But this, like minute to minute, second to second, you know, how many likes did I get? Am I included in this? You know, if I do this or whatever it is, then the consequences are, I mean, can you imagine the meaning, how we would interpret the meaning of being cancelled? I just cancel you. You don't exist for me anymore because you don't show on my screen and I can just diss you with a press of a button, you are suddenly out of my life and not important. And the way that this kind of thing is interpreted, which enhances the need, and the way people talk about this kind of thing, and then we'll just go back to your question, like, how many friends have you got? Now, you know, we have a definition of a friend, a real friend. And you're lucky in your life if you have a few real friends that you can, who have your back, who know you, where there's a level of acceptance of your, and knowledge and valuing of your strength and certain acceptance of that you're not a perfect person and areas of improvement, where they love you anyway. They want to celebrate important things with you and be there with you when times are tough or when things are down. No, we used to talk about friends like that. Now you have 5,000,265 friends. Nearly all of them don't even know you.
Which is a combination of friends, followers, and stalkers.
Exactly. It's a combination of both. So I think that this whole thing is, you know, has diluted. And we are going to talk, Bhavani. I'm not evading your question.
No, I actually like your topic more, I have to say. I'm very happy to let go of the boundaries question. And we can go to the social media, et cetera. Because, you know, what I asked about boundaries was, where does our emotional and lack of confidence and worries come when we put in boundaries? I'll ask the same question about social media as parents.
I answered the boundaries like that because I feel that in some way they're related. The fact that I do believe that parents are less able, more scared, less personally entitled, more child-centric, not to say it's not good to be child-centric, but there's a misunderstanding of what child-centric is. Your thing was saying what is good for the child, which I think is such an important question. You know, sometimes you want to just let something go because it's better. But I think that often you let something go, you don't set a boundary, not because it's better. You might tell yourself, oh, why rock the boat, as you said, or it's better. But it's, you know, the other day someone said to me, my daughter is my best friend. And I said, gee, I'm so sorry to hear that. And the mother said to me, what are you talking about? I said, you know, your child's got lots of friends. 14-year-old girl, she's got lots of friends. She might, you know, there might be one day more than one man in her life. She has more than one sibling. Certainly lots of friends, but only one mom. Only one mom. So what differentiates you? If a friend means we talk openly, we do have some fun together, we have similar interests, we enjoy each other, we have share activities, then fantastic. But sometimes it means I've abdicated my responsibility that has come out of years of experience, wisdom, that I'm the only one who, or maybe the other parent, who will authentically offer this to my child. Because I'm prepared to not be loved in that way every minute. I'm not prepared to not be deeply loved, but they may be upset by what I say.
And not loved as a friend necessarily, but loved as a parent.
Yeah.
And being able to see that. But that's so foreign from the way a lot of parents think today. How do you reach that gap?
That's what I'm saying, you know, together. That's why I related it to the social media, because we're living in a culture, there are a lot of words for it. Some say, my goodness, it's such an improvement from, you know, things like spare the rod and spoil the child. And it absolutely is. You know, as I say, it's example. Can't physically punish a child and say, this will teach you not to hurt anyone who's smaller than you. You know, it's just crazy. So no, that absolutely not. But discipline comes from the word disciple, which means to follow. And I think that why you say is, how is it related? Because there's a culture of some, we call it woke, a woke culture, or an extreme culture of you have to absolutely be all inclusive. all encouraging and absolutely politically correct. And the way that that gets interpreted sometimes is that if we lay down any kind of boundary that we may see as good for the child, it's not, it won't be sanctioned, it's old-fashioned, it's inappropriate, and so we want to do well by the child, but also be the superhero mom or dad, you know, the one that everyone likes. And so, you know, I had an example the other day. It was a 15-year-old boy. The mother was so excited that the friends wanted to create a celebration for the child, for their party. So she said she'd do everything to assist. And everything included providing a bottle of alcohol, if it's actually vodka. And the child was 15. There was a huge discussion where the mother said to the father and other people, but oh, for goodness sake, what world do you live in? You know, we know that they're doing it anyway. Let me rather ensure that it is not that terrible toxic stuff, that it's the best stuff. They're doing it anyway. Now, I know I can see you smiling, but honestly, how do you endorse that? That is illegal. That exactly. is dangerous. And you know what was so, so amazing is when the kids came there, some of them came early. I mean, they saw it lying on the side and they went to her and said, please take this away. You really don't want this.
It's such a crazy reality that we're getting to, that sometimes the kids are telling the adults like what's happening. And, you know, so many things that you mentioned, and we do have to go for our next break, but some things you mentioned, like, even losing the scale of right and wrong, and because everything is wrong on the same level or politically correct on the same level and everything is exactly the same heaviness, is creating a real challenge. And we didn't even touch on social media yet. So let's take a short break and we'll be right back. And yeah, we'll continue this.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Okay, so actually another great show has come to an end. Dr. D, we have 1 minute left. What is your vision? What is your message to the parents today raising the youth? And what is your message to your youth? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but just quickly, what would you say to the generation coming up and look forward?
I would first want to say to them that I know that it's tough. In today's world, you can't hide. You are always seen. And if you're not seen, then it feels even worse. So there is that kind of thing. It's a challenge. But I think that the youth today they embrace change. They are flexible. They are resilient. And I think that if you look at the things that serve you well in terms of the relationship, your relationships that make people like you and make you feel good about yourself so you get the good results, they are going to be those inherent family values and ideas that hopefully you see around you at home and that you have the strength to stand up for with your peers.
Amazing, amazing. And connecting to what we started with, be a mensch, and exactly how to use your values and connect them as you go forward. Dr. D, thank you so much for being with us and really interesting, great chat. I wish we had more time. I think we needed, but I guess we have to live with what we have. So thank you so much for being with us. Have a great day and looking forward to chat again. That was Dr. D, clinical psychologist and organizational psychologist, Doreen Well. So, good afternoon to you, and we have another show coming to an end, and we will be back next Monday, 2 to 3, as we do every week. In the meantime, stay safe and live the life you want to live and in the world you want to be in. Have a great day, and see you next week.
The Chai Chinuch Show was brought to you by King David Schools, instilling Jewish values, delivering exceptional education, and inspiring a life of purpose.